Since learning the truth about alcohol over 4 years ago, I've become pretty skeptical about anything that seems too good to be true. You know, like alcohol. If you're like me and you can spot a too good to be true health hack from a mile away, congrats, you're a skeptic too. Ritual knows that every good skeptic deserves a multivitamin that exceeds our standards. I take Ritual's Essential for Women 18 Plus every morning because it has high quality and traceable key ingredients in clean, bioavailable forms. It's gentle on an empty stomach and has a minty essence in every bottle that helps make taking my multis actually enjoyable. No more shady business. Ritual's Essential for Women 18 Plus is a multivitamin you can actually trust. Get 25% off your first month at ritual.com/sobermom. Start Ritual or add Essential for Women 18 Plus to your subscription today. That's ritual.com/sobermom for 25% off. All right, you guys, I am currently struggling with a pinched nerve in my neck, and if you have ever had one, you know the pain. So I am feeling super thankful for today's sponsor, Tenassi. Tenassi's CBD CBDA is two times better than CBD alone and better than over-the-counter ibuprofen, acetaminophen, and aspirin. It helps soothe and relieve my aches and pains, like my pinched nerve, and it's great for sleep and anxiety, so I put it on right before bed. Tenassi was discovered by a team of chemists and biologists at Middle Tennessee State University, and 5% of all revenue is given back to the university partner for ongoing research. It is THC-free and comes in a range of products. I love the topicals, but you can also choose from soft gels, gummies, and tinctures. Satisfaction is guaranteed. Try Tenassi for 30 days, and if you don't love it, you get a full refund. Go to Tenassi.com and use code MOM to get 25% off at checkout. That's TANASI.com to get 25% off your first order with promo code MOM. Hi, welcome to the Sober Mom Life podcast. I'm your host, Suzanne, of My Kind of Sweet and the Sober Mom Life on Instagram. If you are a mama who has questioned your relationship with alcohol at times, if you're wondering if maybe it's making motherhood harder, this is for you. I will be having candid, honest, funny conversations with other moms who have also thought, maybe motherhood is better without alcohol. Is it possible? We'll chat and we'll talk about all things sobriety and how we've found freedom in sobriety. I don't consider myself an alcoholic. You don't have to either. And maybe life is brighter without alcohol. I hope you will join us on this journey, and I'm so excited to get started. Hello. Hello. Hi, guys. Welcome back. Happy Monday. I hope you had a good weekend. I am so excited for today's episode. I'm excited for every week's episode. This one is a little bit different. I'm realizing I'm using this podcast as an excuse, rightly so, to talk to people whom I admire and who I just want to talk to. And it's a great excuse to say, hey, do you want to just like chat for an hour and we'll record it. And that's what this conversation with Joe Piazza is. I first connected with Joe, I think over a year ago, for her podcast Under the Influence, which is kind of a deep dive into influencers and mommy influencers and all kinds of influencers that we now have in this crazy social media environment and what that means and what influence they have over us. I was lucky to talk about sobriety because I was just kind of starting the sober mom life and that influencing in that realm. Joe is a best-selling author. She's a podcast creator. She's an award-winning journalist. As someone who's just starting the process of, you know, writing a book and trying to sell a book, I look up to her so much. One of her recent novels was the critically acclaimed We Are Not Like Them. If you have not read it, oh, it's a must read. It's beautiful. It's timely. It was incredible. Oh man, she's written many books. Charlotte Walsh Likes to Win, The Knockoff, How to Be Married. Her work has been published in 10 languages in 12 countries. and 4 of her books have been optioned for film and television. You guys, she's a badass. She was a former editor, former columnist, and travel writer with Yahoo, Current TV, and the New York Daily News. We talk a lot about like how she started and what that was like. I like this conversation because this is exactly what I wanted this podcast to be, where it's not always going to be these stories of I hit rock bottom and then I stop drinking and here's my story of sobriety. I want to create a space where we are just comfortable questioning and examining our relationship with alcohol. And that's where Jo's at. When we recorded this, she was pregnant with her third baby. She has since given birth. And we just talked about the role that alcohol plays in her life. And she was talking about that she had been thinking of taking a break from it, and then she got pregnant. And so then that was kind of a forced break. I think that examining our relationship with alcohol is just so important. We examine our relationship with everything except alcohol. And when something like that is off limits to look at, we're not in control. Then alcohol will definitely take over. So I just, Jo is a breath of fresh air. I just look up to her so much in her honesty in her writing. She's just so powerful and unapologetically so. And I really, really admire that. I think you guys will really love this conversation with Jo. A few reminders. If you've been loving the show, please go rate and review it. That helps us get discovered by more listeners, helps us grow, helps us keep this whole thing going. Also, if you want more bonus episodes, head to Patreon. It's patreon.com/thesobermomlife. It's also linked in the show notes. The lowest tier is $5 a month, and you get all of the bonus content and the video episodes of every episode. Also, one note, this episode will not have a video, but generally speaking, the Monday episodes will. And then, yeah, come and follow me on My Kind of Sweet on Instagram and The Sober Mom Life on Instagram for more sobriety support and what it looks like to live a full sober life. And you guys, that's it. Happy Monday. I hope you enjoy this episode with Jo. Jo, thank you. You might give birth any minute, but you're here and you're here to talk.
Yeah. I mean, literally any minute. I'm having like early contractions.
Are you really? But
yeah. And it's the third baby. So the exit is a well-worn path.
Oh, yeah. So is it a girl?
It's a girl.
Oh, my God. And what do you have already? Because this is your third.
It's my third. I have a 5-year-old boy, a 3-year-old girl, and now this one's a girl.
Oh, that's what I have, 2 girls and a boy. Ooh. I'm telling you, that third baby is magic.
This is what everyone says.
It's so true.
Yeah, why do you think that is?
I was thinking about this because I thought this was your third, and I was like, I always get this pang of like, oh, I want to do that again. I don't want to do the first again. Mm-hmm. Even the second was kind of a shit show, but the third, because I think the first is just a shit show because you don't know what the hell's going on.
Yes.
The second is a shit show because it's the first time you have two. And then that is all new in itself that you're like, oh, the first one is really not going to help with the second one.
No.
Yeah. And so then the third, you already know that. You're already eating standing up. Like you already aren't peeing in peace. Like all of that stuff is gone. So then the third is just, ugh.
See, this is what I think too. I was thinking the exact same thing because the first one was a special kind of hell because you don't know how to be a parent or how to completely just rip your insides open for another human being. Like you don't know that. Mm-hmm. And yeah, the second one, I was looking after the second one. I'm like, how do I split my brain in two for two of them? But now I'm just like, you can sleep in a box by the bed, right? Like you don't need anything from me.
Totally. Yeah. And you totally know like the forgiving nature of motherhood. Like I was so hard on myself with the first one.
I know.
And I feel like I screwed her up a little bit. I mean, she's perfect and she's great. Perfect in the imperfect way. But you know, you're just so hard on yourself.
I know. My first one is very needy. He's still very needy to this day because I did everything for him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh God.
Mm-hmm.
My first one is 8. And just today I had to go
bring her a sweater to school because she was wearing a t-shirt and she didn't realize it until she got to school. And mm-hmm. she was like, wait, do I have a sweater? And I'm like, I don't know. Did you bring a sweater? And I did it. And I was like, okay, I'm not going to do this anymore for you. You have to do it.
Right? Yeah. No, I know. Exactly. Yeah. But third one, no, they're going to do everything. They do everything themselves because I'm not doing it anymore.
Right. And I kind of like, I don't know. It is kind of bad because I will do whatever for him. Like he is just like, I'm like, sure. And the girls are like, why does Gray get to do this? And I'm like, because he's a baby.
Because
he's
the not, last.
He's three.
He's the not last even a baby one. Anymore.
Yes.
It is interesting to have had the two different genders already. Right. So yes. I'm like, oh, I have boy and a girl already. Yes. And I'm just like, oh, I've already done this. Mm-hmm. But I feel like if it were something different, mm-hmm. I'd be like, oh, this is brand new.
Totally. Yeah. Like having two girls and then a boy. And I do feel like boys, I don't know, boys like love their moms.
I know.
In
they
a
do.
Different way.
They do.
Right?
Yeah. My boy, he's never going to leave me. It's funny. We live right by the University of Pennsylvania campus where I went to college. It's the only college he knows. Like when he hears the word college, he's like, this is the only college that exists.
Yeah.
And so we were driving the other day and he's like, when I go to college, it'll be so easy for me to bike here from our house.
Yep. Yes.
And I'm like, oh, well, most college students live on campus. And he's like, oh, no. Why would I not live with you ever? And I'm like, right. I don't know. I'm like, you're never leaving. And it's like, I'm never leaving. And then I was like, well, what about B? Like, is your sister gonna live with yeah. us too forever? And he's like, oh no, she's gone.
Oh,
he's like,
God,
she'll be leaving. Weird. I'm like, probably.
He's like, she's out of here.
He's like, she's out of here. Out. Yeah. And he's like, no, it's like he knew that she would choose to leave. He
oh
was
God,
like, it was
hilarious.
He was just like, yeah, no, she'll be leaving. And I'm like, I kind of do think she's going to like drop out of high school at 16 to be a professional snowboarder. And I'm just going to have to deal with that.
Oh my God. Wait, that sounds amazing.
It kind of sounds amazing. Like, yeah, in my head, I'm like, that's her life. And I'm like, that's your yeah. path, girl. Yeah.
Yeah. I fully support that.
Fully like, support it.
Yeah. Okay, so I do want to talk about, because this is the Sober Mom Life podcast.
Yeah.
It's so funny because literally the last time I talked to you, I was on your podcast.
You're on my podcast.
Yeah, and I didn't have this yet. I can't remember if I even had like the Sober Mom Life Instagram.
You had the Instagram. You did.
I did, right? Mm-hmm, okay. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. But okay. No podcast.
Yeah, but no podcast. And so now it's like full circle that now you're in mine. I love it.
I know.
You were my inspo.
Oh, yay. Well, I think podcasting is the most fun that I've had in journalism since journalism got kind of destroyed yes. by the internet. So I
okay, why do you think that? Why is it so special? Because it does feel special to me, but I don't have like you really know what you're talking about with that stuff. So why do you think?
Because I think that you can capture an audience's attention and yeah. nothing else on the internet really does. You look at an Instagram for all of 3 seconds. You yes. read an article, you read the first half of an article and click away from it. But podcasts, the audio is so intimate. You can listen to it while you're doing other things. And yes. so someone will just tune in and hang out with you for like 30, 40 minutes. And no one does that at all anymore. I mean, next you yeah. do it with TV shows and stuff, but not with real people, with real interviews.
Yeah, it's so true. It does feel really personal, like we're in their homes, like we're doing laundry with them. Like I know when I listen to podcasts, like, yeah, I'm just like doing dishes and I have these people in my ear and it feels like I know them.
Yeah, exactly.
And so, okay, I want to talk about all of the sobriety drinking mm-hmm. stuff. But first, I do want to pick your brain about the Under the Influence podcast because that, you know, like – is there going to be a season 3, first of all? Because you guys
is.
Have done 2 seasons. Okay,
there
good.
Yes, yes. We're changing up the format. You know, for the first 2 seasons, it was a really well-produced, and I'm not saying the next ones won't be well-produced, but like it was a narrative show. It
yes.
was like
yeah.
deep research, lots and lots of interviews, lots of different kinds of storytelling. And we've done that already. So what we're switching to is more of a chatty format. It's like if you took Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous but made it influencers.
Oh my so God, I love that.
We have a different type of influencer.
Wait, does that make you Robin Leach?
Yes, that makes okay. me Robin Leach. That's okay. all I That's, want.
I love it.
But a different type of influencer every week. And it's just more talking, more chatting yeah. and less. We probably won't bring in like all of the economists and all the historians for everything just so we can yeah. do more. So we have, yeah. have the ability to do more episodes because when you get into something that's that heavily produced, it takes a whole team of people. And we want to be yeah. able to do way more topics on a regular basis. So
I'm excited for that.
I know, me too. We're going to do it after my maternity leave. But we've got, we have a bunch of other stuff in the can. I have.
You have like a Laura Ingalls Wilder podcast. I have a
Laura Ingalls Wilder podcast.
What is, talk about that.
It's called Wilder. Glynis McNichol, who is my best friend, who was also on the Under the Influence podcast, is obsessed with Laura Ingalls Wilder in a really unhealthy way.
Oh my God, why? Like, what is that about?
They were the books that she read as a child.
Okay.
And like read them over and over and over again. And for me, that was Judy Blume books.
Same.
Yeah. Yeah.
When I heard this Laura Ingalls Wilder and I was like, huh, I wonder why I'm not... Because I'm, you know, I'm 42. That was exactly when I was, that was my generation. But I never gravitated toward that.
Mm-mm. I'm not a Laura person. I'm a Judy person.
Yeah. Same. Okay.
Yeah. But Glynis is like really obsessed to the extent that every time that we've gone on a road trip across the country, which has actually happened a couple times, she's dragged me to all the Laura Ingalls homesteads.
Oh, my real God.
Places. And
yeah,
so we decided to take on the life and legacy of Laura Ingalls Wilder. I mean, she sold 60 million books in 45 languages. And like her impact on America, so many people know American pioneer history just through those books, to be honest. And so it's 8 episodes. And we this summer, we took another road trip through the middle of the country, interviewing people at all of these homesteads. There's pageants, there's live action role play of Laura's life and the books and like all of this stuff. So that comes out in April. But because, I'm so glad you said you love Judy Blume because we're doing a Judy Blume podcast.
Oh my God. Okay.
Yeah. That we're starting to produce in April, looking back at all of Judy's books and talking to authors about how Judy inspired them to be the writer that they are today.
Oh my God. That's amazing. Okay. Well, I will definitely be listening. Okay. And you had a novel, We Are Not Like Them, which I absolutely loved. I mean, how many books have you written?
10.
How, like, Joe, how?
I'm just very fast. What? It's because I was a tabloid newspaper reporter starting when I was 21 years old.
Wait, tell me about that. I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. I was a reporter at the New York Daily News, and I was a gossip reporter.
That's amazing. Okay.
That was amazing. Well, this is why I drank so much and blacked out so much in my 20s, to be honest.
I mean, I get it.
We can dig deep into that. But yeah. I mean, it was the best job to have in me in your 20s in New York City. I went to every movie premiere. I was out at all of these clubs. I was like, I mean, it was just cool as shit. But I had to write 5 or 6 400-word little stories every day by 5 o'clock. And if I didn't, I'd get fired.
What? That's like the pressure.
It's a pressure, right? And like not to mention then like I was like writing like other breaking celebrity stories. I started covering politics for the New York Daily News. I covered crime for a while. But like you've got a daily deadline. If you miss it, you get literally like screamed in the face by like a mean old British man.
Oh my God.
Who runs the newspaper. These were still old school newspapers. And I live on deadline. So I can sit down and bang out a book or a story or a podcast script.
You say like just like a book, but these are like best-selling books. And the We Are Not Like Them is so beautifully written. Like I can't imagine that as a tabloid reporter, like you were prioritizing quality over quantity, right?
No, not in the beginning.
And so somehow you translated that to like this beautiful, I don't know, you're an inspiration as far as writing goes.
Oh, thank you.
You have another book coming out, right?
Oh, I do. Christine. So I wrote We Are Not Like Them with my former editor, Christine Pride.
Yeah.
And we have another book called You Were Always Mine that comes out in May or June. And then I just sold another book called The Sicilian Inheritance, which is a dishy, fun Sicilian murder mystery that takes place on dual timelines and is a lot of murder, sex, and wine and food.
Oh, okay. I want all of that.
I know. That was the thing. Yeah. Like I was working on it. It was a book I started writing a long time ago and then picked it back up in the pandemic. And I was like, what do I want to read about? And I'm like, murder, sex, wine, and food.
Yes, totally.
So that's next year.
All of this, and you're like very pregnant.
I'm so pregnant.
So how do you do that? What's your writing process? Like, how do you even make time for all of this stuff?
I'm just super regimented. And I think you can definitely attest to this. I'm more productive now that I have kids.
Yes.
Because I don't fuck around.
Totally. It's not like you have a whole day in front of you.
No.
If I have a whole day in front of me, I'm going to waste it.
Totally. Exactly. Like, exactly. Yeah. So I'm like, I know that I sit down at my desk and I know that I've got 2 hours to do this one thing. I'm just hyper focused on that one thing. And, you know, as far as writing, I can only write in the morning for serious writing. And so when I'm working on books, I make myself do 2,000 words a day. If you do 2,000 words a day for 50 days, you have a 100,000 word book, which is a book.
Yeah.
And I don't really edit along the way. I'll edit after maybe, like, I edit like every 50 pages or so. Because I give myself that freedom, it just allowed to just like pour out of you, right?
Yeah.
Instead of just trying to fix it all the time.
Yeah, that's, I need to, okay, because I'm starting this process of mine is more like memoir, nonfiction, sobriety stuff. It's just so daunting and yeah.
Yeah. So you just need to, like, honestly, I do 2,000, but you can do 1,000 words a day. And you feel so accomplished after you get those 1,000 words done. And you're like, I don't have to do anything else for the book. I really don't. And if you have other thoughts, what I do for the rest of the day is like, I don't go back to the computer. I send myself emails. And then those can count for the next day's word count if I want them to. It's like a little treat. But don't stay any longer than that because you really can get fatigued.
Okay, that's a good idea. And that makes sense doing it first thing in the morning too. You're just like getting it out of the way. I like that. Do you think you'll ever venture into memoir or nonfiction?
I wrote one. I did.
You did?
Yeah. I mean, I did mostly nonfiction early in my book writing career because, you know, I've been a journalist for so long.
Yeah.
My first book was Celebrity Inc., How Famous People Make Money,
ooh,
which was like the economics behind celebrity pre-social media days. Like I have one chapter on social media and it was the very beginning of Twitter. It was Charlie Sheen getting paid for a tweet.
Oh my God, really? Wait, so you've been around this influencing thing like since the genesis of influencing.
Yeah.
And are you telling me Charlie Sheen was the first influencer?
Charlie Sheen was the first person paid for a tweet. Yeah.
Really? What was the tweet? Like, what was it for?
It was with Adley, which was the first company paying celebrities to like do things on Twitter. So I did that. So
okay.
I did Celebrity Inc. and then I did one called If Nuns Ruled the World, which is about badass feminist nuns.
That's amazing.
And then I wrote a memoir, essentially, which was crazy at 35, but it was called How to Be Married, and it was about Nick and I traveling around the world for the first year of our marriage.
Oh, that's amazing.
Asking people, how the hell are you supposed to do this marriage thing?
Yeah. I feel like I'm still asking that at like almost 10 years married.
But I still don't know. No, there's no answers.
Yeah, there's no answers.
But then I've been doing fiction since that.
Yeah. What do you like better?
With three kids? Fiction, because I can just make it the fuck up.
Totally. And then you can just get lost in it.
I know. Yeah. I mean, I love nonfiction. I mean, I feel like my nonfiction books have morphed into podcasts, right?
Yes.
So yeah, it's just a different platform.
Oh my God, that's so cool. Okay. So let's talk about drinking. I remember when I was on your podcast, you said you were doing like a 30-day.
Yeah, I was about to.
What did you? Okay, you were about to. How did it go? What'd you do?
All right. So you were on my podcast, and then I was going to start one after we went to this Elton John concert in Fargo, North Dakota.
Ooh.
We flew to Fargo to see, like, you know, Elton John's farewell tour because we've, like, we've never been to North Dakota. This is a great place to see Elton John. A bunch of our friends met us, and we drank a lot that weekend.
Yeah.
And then I got pregnant.
Oh my God. Well, there you go. Yeah.
That's how you get pregnant at 42. You go to Fargo, North Dakota, and you drink a lot at a
VFW. That's hilarious. Oh my God.
After an Elton John concert. But I was planning to take a sober month or even a sober 3 months, really just to like clear the slate.
Yes. What does that mean? Like what made you, my whole thing now is like, I think that a normal drinker, you know, we've been taught like normal drinkers are people who can moderate, whatever the hell that means. I think a normal drinker is one who has questioned her relationship with alcohol and has taken breaks and has drank too much and has felt the shame and guilt that comes along with that. And like, I think that's normal.
Yes.
Yeah. So what was your...
Well, so let me just tell you a little bit of my history with alcohol.
Yeah.
Both my parents are alcoholics.
Okay.
Full-blown alcoholics. And so I grew up thinking it was totally normal for my dad to be at the bar until like 8 or 9 o'clock at night and my mom to drink like a bottle or two bottles of wine every night. And I was an only child, and like that was my baseline. That seemed very normal for me. They both went to rehab. They both stopped drinking when I was a teenager.
Okay.
But like, it's so funny to me now in hindsight, having children, I'm just like, how the fuck did you get away with this for so long?
Totally.
I'm like, I can't even hungover parent. How were you both relatively functional? I mean, they both had jobs and things. I'm like, how did you function for 13 years of my life as alcoholics?
This is what I think, because everyone in, you know, now we have social media, we're on our phones all the time, and people kind of paint this idea of like, back in our day, we were present and we were, I'm like, no, you guys weren't.
You were drunk. You were
right.
Hammered.
I think that was it. Like, now our escape is social media, is the phone. Like, their escape, yeah, was that.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So I've always known that alcohol could be a problem. I'm absolutely a problem drinker. I don't think that I have serious addiction tendencies, mostly because I watch it. Like, I'm like very like, oh, okay. Like, you're not like, you know, you can go down that rabbit hole, but I can be a shit drinker in my 20s. And like that, and that meant a lot of just drink till you black out.
Yes.
A lot of like, which was really normalized in college.
Totally.
And then when I was going out in New York, this was very normal for me.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny because there's a quirk in my Gmail right now. I feel like this is a novel where I star things in Gmail as my to-do list.
Yeah.
And for some reason, once I get through the things that are in there, it jumps back to 2008 to like all of these old emails. So all of these old emails start appearing in my star.
No.
So yes. Yes. So they like rise to the top, like real old. And like emails when like I was an embarrassing motherfucker.
Your past is coming back to haunt you through Gmail.
Through Gmail. So like there's these emails where I'm like emailing friends being like, what did I do last night?
Oh my God, like, the worst. Yeah.
You know, boyfriends or potential boyfriends, just like terrible, like that I may have drunk dialed. It's actually really, really a fun blast from the past.
Yeah, I bet. Yeah, you're like, thanks for that reminder.
But it does remind me of just like how much drinking impacted me in my 20s. And I will say, I would also never go back and change it at this point, because I'm very happy with how I ended up. I would never go back and tell that girl, chill the fuck out. Like, you know what? This got you to a really great place. But knowing that I have problems with limits, I like to just take a breather from drinking like once a year or so, where, and also for health reasons, I'm getting older, right?
Yeah.
So like, I can't sleep when I drink. I can't have wine at all anymore. I get headaches right away. Like my brain fog, my hangovers last for 4 or 5 days.
Yes, the worst.
And also for my husband, if I'm doing something, he can't diet if I'm not dieting. He can't take a break from alcohol if I'm not taking a break from alcohol.
You're the influence. Like moms and wives, we're the influencers of our home.
I know,
like,
exactly.
Yeah.
And so if he's like, oh, I want to get back in shape, I want to lose 30 pounds. And I'm like, well, then you can't have any beer. So then I can't have any beer either. So that like, that's another impetus. And I also just like taking a step back and looking at the things that I enjoy doing while drinking and the things that I don't enjoy doing while drinking. And so that was my plan. And then I got pregnant. So I've had this forced drinking hiatus for the past 9 months, which is always really interesting. I think you remember which people you like to hang out with sober, what things. I have a friend that I think I'm done with, actually.
Really? Yeah.
She's been such an annoying drunk while I've been pregnant that I'm like, I don't think I actually like you anymore.
Yeah. So what is that? Like, how do you have that conversation? Not the I don't like you conversation, but then like, if you have a friend that you're done with, because I think that happens a lot in sobriety is we realize like, oh, wait, this is not fun anymore. Or wait, I don't think I really like you when I'm sober. How do you break up with a friend?
I don't know. I mean, that is like, I have been fading for the past few weeks.
Yeah.
But I mean, I'm fading from everything. I'm 100 months pregnant.
Yeah, you have a good excuse. Like, you have a built-in excuse to start fading even more.
I have a built-in excuse.
In 5 minutes.
Yeah,
when your water breaks on this podcast.
On this podcast. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But I don't know how to do it. Like, do you transition to, we have day hangs?
Right. Although even day, is she a mom?
Yeah. She's a mom.
I feel like even day hangs, that's not that clear, especially, I think moms tend to drink more during the day when we're hanging out.
Fair point.
Because, right? Because then when you go home, then you're like tired and whatever. So yeah, that's not even clear that it wouldn't involve.
But during the day, she'd be less apt to get hammered. Like, it doesn't bother me she's drinking. The problem is the few times that we have hung out and she's drank like way to excess. And then I'm like, oh my God, you're so annoying.
Oh. And you know what's hard to hear that is that I have been that person.
Oh, I've been that person. Oh, please. Oh, I am that person. Like, I have been that person. Maybe people have ghosted me in the past. Like,
right? Like, who's ghosted us? Oh, wait a second.
I should actually really think about that.
I know. Wait, now I'm thinking about that. I'm like, oh, that's why I've never heard from that girl again.
I mean, I know that I've been that annoying drunk before. And I just, it'll be really interesting to come back from this baby and see where I'm at too, because this pregnancy has been different in terms of drinking generally. In my first pregnancy, I was 36, 37.
Okay. Yeah.
And I ended up after the first trimester, when you get out of like the danger zone, I craved hoppy beer. And so I had a lot of hoppy beer, not a lot, but like, you know, a hoppy beer here or there when you go to a bar. I thought nothing of it.
Well, because doctors are like, okay.
Doctors are like, yeah. I mean, like, when you talk to them one-on-one, they're like, they're like, you're fine.
Yeah.
But with this one, I haven't wanted anything. So it's been full abstinence. I think it's just because I'm old and my body doesn't want alcohol anymore. And I also just like drinking less. I do still like drinking, but I also like drinking when I know, when I'm just a little bit better at moderating it.
Yeah.
And I think I stay good at moderating it, whatever that means. Not that I don't, I mean, I tied one on in Fargo, North Dakota, and then made a baby.
Yeah.
I'm a little better when I take the breaks, when I step back and I'm like, you know how good you're going to feel if you don't drink nine drinks. So don't do that.
It's so funny because moderation is such a tricky thing. It's like this rule that we set for ourselves when we're clear-headed and nothing's fogging our judgment. And then once we drink, even just that first drink fucks with our brain.
Immediately.
Totally fogs our judgment and our frontal lobe and everything where we make decisions. Then it's like, yeah, of course that goes out the window because like we're not of sound mind anymore.
No.
So exactly. It makes sense. Like all, like scientifically, it all makes sense.
It all makes sense. But what I love about everything that you talk about is that, you know, and when I was growing up, it felt like such shades of gray. It's like you're an alcoholic or you're not an alcoholic.
Yeah.
You have a problem with alcohol, you're fine. And I guess there are some people that don't have any weird kind of weird relationship with alcohol. That's okay. Not me.
Can you name one person in your life who is that person?
Yeah, I definitely have a couple of friends that are just like,
I always say I can name one. I can think of one person in my whole life that I've ever met that is like, has a really like take it or leave it. She can drink like a drink and a half and leave the, you know, like it's just fine. She doesn't need it. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I have a handful of friends that are really just like, take it or leave it. I can do this. I can do that. The majority of my friends are not those people.
And this is where I always want to take it off the person and onto the substance. It's just such a highly addictive toxin that,
of course.
You know what I mean? Like, of course it's people are drinking it more and wanting it more. Like, that's like by design.
But we've also never talked about it like that. And I mean, as a society, right?
Yeah.
Because it is also such a big industry. And
yes.
It's been really interesting doing a deep dive into Laura Ingalls Wilder and history. Ooh. And looking at what caused prohibition and the temperance movements. And it was all women. It was all women that are like, I'm really sick of drunk men.
Really?
Yeah. That's what happened. Mothers and wives and women generally were like, I'm sick of what this essentially poison is doing to the men in our lives. Get rid of it. Legislate it. It fell along a lot of religious lines, but everything fell along religious lines.
Right.
And it really was just women who were fed up. They were fed up with really drunk men.
Isn't that interesting that now, you know, there are still the drunk men and the drunk men were dying. And now instead, big alcohol was like, well, we don't want the women to do that again. So we got to market to them.
But no. Now big alcohol advertises to moms. Rosé all day and ranch water in your thermos at the soccer
game. And it's Totally. That's why anytime anybody calls me out, like influencing sobriety or making it look glamorous, I'm like, hell yeah, I will. Because there are still moms all over the place influencing drinking. Like there was a mom, a very well-known mom blogger, to get through daylight savings time. She showed herself pouring an entire bottle of wine into one of those like Stanley cups and then putting the straw on. And I'm like, hold on. So you're promoting hiding your drinking, binge drinking, and drinking to cope with motherhood. And just like to a cute little song and like with a smile and a wink. And I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah. I mean, it is so interesting, the movement towards, especially on social media, of I drink to deal with my kids. Yeah. And as a child of an alcoholic, I find it almost offensive.
Yes.
I mean, I think my parents drank because they had a disease. They were very sick. Nothing to do with me. But it's still... Yeah.
But it affects your kids. Like
it affects your kids. Yeah.
Yeah, my dad had that. I don't even know. It is funny when you look back at your childhood and you're like, wait, was he an alcoholic? Because that wasn't a word that we used. Like that wasn't, but it's like, oh, dad definitely like drank too much and I felt unsafe. Mm-hmm. So this is not a thing that is going to help you in motherhood.
No, not at all.
It's a thing that's going to, and if it helped motherhood, I'd be like, yeah, like great. Moms need help. Great, do it. But not only does it not help motherhood, it makes kids feel unsafe. And like it makes motherhood so much harder.
That's the thing. It actually does make it harder. I've compared it before because people ask me if I can write when I drink, you know, because there's like so many, like Hemingway was always drunk.
I know. Or like Bukowski and like even like Carrie Bradshaw. You know what I mean? Like
I can't write shit when I drink. Like it is an uphill battle if I had to write something. But also, I can't parent. I can survive parenting when I'm drinking. Right. I can get through it. But like, I'm not a better parent when I've had a few glasses of wine. And I certainly can't function as a parent hungover.
No, it's hell on earth.
It's a special kind of hell. It's really a special kind of hell, which I wish we saw more of on the Instagram, because we see people pouring a whole bottle of wine. And I'm like, what's going to happen to you when you wake up?
Yeah, can we please like fast forward that tape? And like, I want to see you even at like bedtime with your kids. I want to see you once you put your kids to sleep. Yeah, and I want to see you the next morning.
And I want to see you the next morning.
Just do a quick check-in. Yeah. Be like, hey, just so you know.
I mean, it's because having young kids really is no joke. Like, I would plan going out, like having a big night out around when they're not around, honestly. Yeah. Like, it's like, oh, you're spending the weekend at grandma's, fine. My husband and I, like, could go out and, like, have, like, a crazy night until 10 o'clock one night and, like, have all the wine at dinner and all of the things, maybe do the karaoke. But, like, I really had to switch my schedule around because I can't function around my children.
No, and it is this interesting thing about like the 20s, like party girl, which it sounds like you were, and I definitely was, especially like that Gen X, that like, you know, early 2000, where I don't know, it was just different. Like no one was talking about alcohol. No one was talking about blacking out. No one was talking about consent. No one was talking about these things. And so then how are these like, we were party girls in our 20s and now we're moms in our 40s. And how does that fit in? And you just realize like it doesn't.
It doesn't. It doesn't. Yeah. No. But I will say for me, and this is just so personal, so much of me feels like I got a lot out of my system.
Yes.
And so I don't feel like I have anything left to prove or do. I'm like, I did all that stuff, but but I don't regret any of those things, but I'm happy. Yeah. I'm happy that I'm at a place now where I can say that.
Yeah. I think that's good. I don't know if I'm in a place where I can say that. That's interesting. That's good that you are. Like, I don't know. I think that's what in sobriety, that's part of what is so hard is that stuff that you've kind of pushed down in those memories and those ways I acted in which I would never act sober.
Oh, totally.
That's hard for me to let go of that shame and all of that. You know, I think that's, yeah.
No, no, it's, I mean, sometimes when I read my emails from 2008, because they just keep popping back up like just in today. My email. Yeah. I mean, I really did. One popped up today from this,
oh my God.
This guy who was terrible to me. I mean, he cheated on me with like 37 women. Ugh. But like, then again, I would drink way too much and do terrible things. And so I'm reading these emails and I'm like, oh, there's a lot of shame around that. But I actually, I do now feel okay with it. And I don't know what that is. Maybe I have good pregnancy hormones happening.
No, but maybe it's the feeling, the shame. Like, you can't live in the shame.
I can't live in the shame. I can't live in the shame. It was a life that I lived. Maybe it's allowing
yourself. Yeah, that's like a forgiveness that I think sounds healthy. It sounds like you're having compassion for yourself for who you were then. Yeah.
Yeah. And this 20-year-old girl who was just like clearly like had insecurity issues, had all of this stuff. And yeah, but I don't think I would be the writer that I am today or the mom or the wife and like feel like a really comfortable, confident human being if I hadn't gone through all of that shit.
Totally. Well, it'll be interesting to see like how your relationship with alcohol kind of progresses or not progresses. That's the wrong word.
Where are we going, alcohol? What's going to happen to us?
I know. How it evolves after the babe, you know?
I know.
I know like every time I gave birth, it always like took me a while to even like the taste of alcohol again, which should have been a sign to be like, oh, this actually does taste
maybe
like
you
shit.
Don't like this. Yeah, maybe you don't like this.
Instead, mm-hmm. I was like, okay, just gotta white knuckle through this part and get to the good part, you know? Yeah, and I'm like, oh, wait, maybe I just don't want to
maybe
do
I
this.
Just don't like it. But, yeah. But we'll find out. We'll see what happens when this babe comes out of my body. We'll see also what my body wants. And I find myself listening to my body so much more now as, you know, a geriatric woman having a geriatric pregnancy.
I mean, that's bananas that they call us geriatric, like even at 35.
I know. Fuck off
with that.
But they called me, they did call me that at 35. But like, But at 42, they fucking mean it. At 42.
I know. And you feel it.
At 42.
I think I had my last baby at like 39 and I was like, holy shit, this is not like at 33.
Like I'm in the doctor's office like four times a week with a super healthy pregnancy. There's been nothing wrong with this pregnancy. And they're like, all right, so we'll see you every day this week except Friday.
You're like, see you tomorrow.
Okay, great. See you tomorrow.
Oh my God. Well, thank you so much. Yeah. Thank you for taking the time and good luck with that
baby.
Thank
you. Okay. Yeah. Okay. I'll keep you updated.
Okay.
Bye, honey.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of The Sober Mom Life. If you loved it, please rate and review it wherever you listen. 5 stars is amazing. Also follow me on Instagram at The Sober Mom Life. Okay. I'll see you next week. I'm going to go reheat my coffee. Bye.
Why are we doing an ad again?
So that we can tell people about brand new information, a pop culture and political podcast.
Say it in a way that doesn't sound like game show host.
Okay. Do you want to be in a room of overeducated douchebags and feel comfortable? Brand new information is for you.
What's it going to take to put you in this podcast today? We have brand new information on sale for free.
Free.
Wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah. We might not break the political and pop culture news of the week,
but we put it right back together for you.
That's right. Listen wherever you find your favorite podcasts.
I'm Madeline, and I'm the host of the Happiest Sober podcast. I got sober in my 20s after a decade of gray area drinking, and the greatest plot twist of all time was realizing that alcohol, the thing that I thought made my life the most happy and fun and exciting, was actually the exact thing preventing me from living my happiest and best life. My mom is 40 years sober, and she joins me on my podcast very often. I like to call her my part-time co-host, and I also bring you solo episodes where I share my top tips, tricks, and mindset shifts in sobriety, and lots of how-tos for navigating all the things sober, from weddings to parties to holidays to bachelorette parties to trips. I'm also joined by so many guests who come on and share their sober stories, and they're all so, so inspiring. I'm here to show you that life doesn't end when you quit drinking. In fact, it's very much the opposite. And no matter what your relationship was with alcohol, life can be the absolute happiest when you're sober. New episodes come out every Tuesday. You can listen to Happiest Sober podcast wherever you get your podcasts.